This is just a great story. And when I say story, I don't want you to get the idea that it didn't happen, but this history, it's just incredible how we see God work through the unknown, through what we can't see. In verse number 8, 2 Kings chapter 6, the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servant, saying, in such and such place shall be my camp. The man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. The king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and he saved himself there, not once nor twice. So as Syria is warring against Israel, every plan that the king develops, before he can carry it out, God has already given that information to Elisha the prophet. And Elisha has sent word to the king of Israel to let him know the strategies of the king of Syria. And he brings this point not once or twice. In other words, this was happening over and over again. So no matter what Syria tried to do, Israel was one step ahead of them. And that's how God is. God looks beyond, and he takes care of us. Guys, when God has a plan for our success, no one can stop it. And when God has a plan for our defeat, no one can stop it. We need to make sure that we are walking with God, that we are in God's pleasure. And so the king of Syria gets discouraged. It says in verse 11, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. When he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Somebody must be telling him what we're going to do. Because there's no way we could lose so often unless there was somebody giving away our secrets. And one of his servants in verse 12 said, none of us, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel. Telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. So a couple of things to consider here is that the only reason that Israel was safe is because the king of Israel listened to the man of God. Because what if Elisha had gone to the king of Israel and said, stay away from this place because if you go there, it will destroy you. And the king of Israel said, I'm not listening to that preacher. He doesn't know my life. He doesn't know how what is happening in my life. He just preaches that Bible stuff and warns me about stuff out of the Bible, but he doesn't really know. Because I know other people could go there and they'll get hurt, but if I go, I won't get hurt. Y'all following this? Because that's what people do today. They figure the man of God doesn't know what he's talking about. They figure that, yeah, you're right, preacher. What you're saying is generally true, but in my situation, it's not true. Because that stuff happens to other people. Other people get caught. No, everybody gets caught. Be not deceived. Is that what you're saying over there? God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We will reap what we sow. So the king of Israel was safe because he listened. There are things in our lives that are going to go wrong. There are things that are going to happen to us that will hurt us, even if we do everything right. So why complicate our lives the rest of the time by doing things wrong and bringing pain and suffering? Guys, the Word of God works. The way of God works. The Bible says, of speaking of pastors, and I don't want this just to be about pastors, because Christian counsel, whether it's a pastor or a deacon or another man in the church, another woman in the church, if it's biblical counsel, it's good counsel. But particularly in Hebrews, he says, they watch for your souls. Why would Elisha tell the king of Israel the secrets of the king of Syria and save him? Why? For his good. Not because Elisha had anything to gain. Elisha was a man on his own. He was living for God. He didn't worry about kings. All he cared about was what God wanted. And that's how we should live. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling more and more disconnected from this world. There's so much going on in the world I have no interest in and no connection to, no understanding of it. And I'm not trying to tell you that I'm backward, but I want you to understand, though, as this world continues, we're going to, as Christians who seek God's face, we're going to be less and less connected to this world. We're not going to fit in. That song we sing, "This world is not my home," more and more every day. It's hard to understand the things that are happening in this country and in this world. But the man of God watches for our souls. Bible-based counsel is inspired by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that what the Bible says? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is what we believe and what we teach. For reproof, for argument or debate, for fighting back, putting something in its place. It's good for correction, and it's good for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, look, and he's not talking about the preacher, he's talking about all of us, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, that we can have everything we need. Everything we need unto all good works. You see, it's the Word of God that empowers us, that guides us, that energizes us to do what we're supposed to do. So let me say to you, if you're not reading your Bible, you won't have the energy you need to do what God wants you to do. We've got to be putting the Word of God in. We've got to take that input. You say, well, I listen to preaching and stuff like that, and that's good as long as it's biblical preaching. But I hear a lot of preaching that's not biblical. And so we've got to be mindful. And how are you going to know if the preaching is biblical if you don't read the Word of God? Well, you don't have anything to compare it to. And so that counsel that is biblical is good for us. It's profitable, he says here as he writes to Timothy. And also we have experience-based counsel. You say, well, Pastor, you've never been through what I've been through, and in that you're right. But pastoring for 30 years, there's a high likelihood I have walked with people as they went through what you're going through. And so my counsel may not be from personal experience, but it comes from a place of experience. And that counsel is for your benefit. Let me ask you a question. Why would a pastor give us bad advice? Why would he do that? Would he sabotage us? Is that really what we think of a preacher? But I can't tell you how many times people have come and sat in my office and asked, what should I do? And then I give them the direction that they should go, and usually by letting them come to that conclusion, not by just throwing it out there. And they reach the conclusion of what they should do, and they leave in agreement, and then they don't do what they said they were going to do. And all they've done is waste my time. And I don't mean that in an ugly way, but they've wasted their time too. I mean, what would be the point of seeking counsel if we're not going to follow counsel. And by the way, what they ended up doing was destructive instead of doing what would have helped them. It doesn't make any sense. The king of Israel found safety in following the counsel of God's man, of the man of God, of the word of God. You see, pastors listen to people's stories, their problems, their regrets, their confessions, their fears, their heartaches, and their hardships. And so we may know more about your situation than you do. You understand that? In other words, let's say I've talked to Brother Sonny along the way about his problems. And then when Brother Junior comes along having the same problem, I've already seen how this road works out. Does that make sense to you? And so I see where the trail leads. And so I know more about the problem than you do, because you're just beginning the journey and I've already walked with somebody down that road. Guys, we need each other. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need our church. God was so wise in putting a church together, because the trouble you're going through now, no matter what it is, I bet I could find somebody in this church that's got a similar situation. Because God's just that smart. Somebody who could walk with you through it. And we need that. As much as others who love us, they want to comfort us, but there's nothing like somebody who's going through the same thing to just look us in the eye and say, it's going to be okay. We need that. We need that. And so Israel listened to the man of God and found safety. Well, get back to the story. Don't you think that made the king of Syria mad when he found out that the preacher was the one giving away all the secrets? So what do you think he did? He called all of his guys in verse 13, and he said, go and spy where he is, that I may fetch him. What do you think fetch means? Like throwing a stick and the dog brings it back, right? It means I want to capture him and I want to stop him. I want to keep him from giving away the secrets. And it was told to him, verse 13, he is in Dothan. Verse 14, therefore sent he thither horses, chariots, and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. Now hold on just a second. Excuse me. God's telling Elisha the strategy of the king. Don't you think that Elisha knew the king was coming to Dothan? Now, we were in New Orleans on that trip, and we were going around praying with people, and there were psychics all set up in front of, in one of the squares there, fortune tellers and such as that. And so I went up and chatted one up, prayed with her. And then when I was back with the group, they said, did you go pray with that psychic? And I said, yeah, but she knew I was coming. She already knew I was going to do that. Anyway, that's just fun. But don't you think Elisha knew? You think Elisha, did Elisha hide? Was he scared? No, he wasn't scared. He had the confidence of God. Guys, he was resting in the truth of God and in his faith in God. He just rested in that. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I know that God is already there. And no matter what happens, guys, I know of a surety in this, that one day, though along the way, some of us will take our flight, one day I hope that God will allow us to stand together in a heavenly sanctuary and rejoice in the fellowship we had here. So I don't worry about those things. I know that we're going to be okay eternally, spiritually. Though there are some things we cannot manage here. We've got to keep our confidence in God. Elisha went to Dothan. He laid his head on his pillow that night and he went to sleep. During the night, the chariots and the horses came into Dothan and they surrounded the whole city. Well, Elisha's servant was somewhat of an earlier riser, maybe. And he woke up and he went outside the tent. And he looked and he saw the Syrian flag and he saw the chariots and the soldiers, the horsemen and the warmen. And he's scared. Uh-oh, they found us, Elisha. He goes back in and he says, in verse number 15, "Alas, my master, how shall we do? What's going to happen?" You see, there was a difference of the maturity of Elisha and his servant, wasn't there? Elisha had confidence in God, didn't worry about it. He might have even heard them as they rumbled in. And he thought, "I'll just sleep in and make them wait a little bit longer." But he didn't move. He wasn't worried. He just had confidence. He just had faith. "How shall we do?" Verse 16. "And Elisha answered, 'Fear not.'" Why did he say that? Because he could see his servant's knees shaking probably. He was scared. He could hear the tremble in his voice. "How shall we do?" Because he was scared. And Elisha said, "The first thing we're going to do is not be afraid. The first thing we're going to do is have faith. Fear not. Why? For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Who is on the Lord's side? Remember? Several times in Scripture where they said, "Come over here if you're on the Lord's side. Stay over there if you're not." Who is on the Lord's side? Elisha said, "Our team's bigger than their team. Our team's stronger than their team." And the servant looked at Elisha and he was at least able to count to two. There's more of them. And he could tell there was more of them than there were of two. And Elisha said, "But there's more of us than there are of them." I don't know if he started looking around to see, "What am I missing?" Guys, sometimes when people tell us to have faith, we wonder that, don't we? What am I missing? I can tell you what we're missing. We're missing what we can't see. God is at work. God is doing His work. Elisha might have slept in. God did not. God never does. He knows what's going on, and He's on top of it. Look at verse 17. This is just incredible. "And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see.' And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." You see, there was an army between them and that other army. There was a defense between them and the enemy. As I know that most of the time all we can see is the Syrian army. But what we don't see is what God has prepared between us and them. A lot of times we don't see what's there. And he didn't see it. We don't see it. And many times God does not open our eyes. But as long as he opens our faith, where we can believe that God has prepared a way, that God does have a plan, that God is interested in our well-being. But first, we must believe. We've got to have confidence in him. Look, I don't want to give you a lot of hope that doesn't exist. I just want you to put your faith in God and trust him for whatever does happen. Not being fatalistic, but being resolved, no matter what happens, that we're going to stay with God. That's where we need to be. You're not going to shake my faith, because I believe in God. It's not that I'm great, it's that He is. And I trust Him. And you can too. Right now, from your heart to God's heart, you could call out and say, God, I put my faith in You. I trust You. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and ask You to forgive my sins, save my soul, cleanse my body, make me useful to Your purpose, and heal my heart. Would you pray now and put your confidence in God? Would you pray now and say, God, no matter what comes, I trust You. I trust You. I don't see what You have prepared. It's going to be incredible one day. I don't know when we get to heaven if God's going to show us all of the times He intervened. I don't know. But I can tell you that every one of us has moments in our lives where God has changed the direction and we had no idea that He intervened. But we have reason to praise Him each day because He does. Let's stand. Father, we love You and thank You for Your wonder. We pray that You will use this time to draw us to You, to restore our confidence, to build our faith. God, we love You. We trust You. Even when we can't see what You have prepared, we trust You. In Jesus' name. The altar's open. If you want to come and kneel and pray, this is your opportunity. You want me to pray with you? I'll be glad to. But you can pray from your heart to God where you are. You can reach heaven this morning with your burden, with your commitment. God, I trust You. When Job was going through all of his troubles, he made one of the most incredible statements in the Bible. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Glad you came today. Hope you come back tonight, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Anything before we're dismissed? All right. Pray for one another. Wash your hands. Because even the cold, you know, I mean, the cold is just germs. All it is. It's still spread the same way. So let's be careful. And I won't stand at the door and shake hands. But no, I love you. I love you so much. Let's go to the Lord in dismissal prayer. God, we thank You for this time we've had together. And pray You will use this message to build us, that You will use us to reach others, that souls will be saved, that lives will be changed. We love You so much. And ask for Your blessings as we go our separate ways. Bring us back again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you.